Earth and Sky.
In the background of the discussion is 9/11. Without 9/11, this discussion probably would not be happening. So in light of 9/11, how much security do we want? And how much are we going to use these new tools to provide that security?
That was Keith Schwab, professor of physics at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. And you're listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast. Nanotechnology engineers materials at the scale of atoms and molecules. And what that means is that as the science advances, electronic devices, including those for surveillance and record keeping, will get much smaller and more powerful. Schwab talked about this and more as part of a Fred Friendly seminar series being broadcast on public television stations in 2008. The series title is Nanotechnology, the Power of Small. So tell me a little bit about your research. How does this tie into the idea of watching you watching me?
Research that I'm involved in now is probing the fundamental quantum behavior of mechanical and electronic devices. So that's very basic physics. So what is the connection between that and surveillance or breaking privacy? Well, it turns out that it's public knowledge that in 94 there was a paper written by a mathematician who basically said that if we could build a computer that behaves quantum mechanically, here's how you use it to break the world's best codes, okay? And so these are the codes that everybody uses on their credit card transactions, or maybe you might use it communicating to your, I don't want to say too much, but it's our most secure way of communicating. So the point is that there's a connection now between very basic quantum mechanics and breaking cryptography, breaking codes. And like I said, that's a public story. It's not a secret story. So anyway, my work is involved in probing this quantum behavior of small devices. You know, we use nanotechnology to make the devices. And it has, we all believe, has the potential for great power in the future for breaking code.
One of the scenarios that the panelists brought up is a town which was all camera versus no camera. So tell me a little bit about your reaction to living in a town that has surveillance cameras everywhere, where every time you stepped out of your house, it was recorded, not necessarily for malicious purposes, but just to collect information on everyone and help everyone feel more secure.
I would find it so oppressive and so intrusive that I would leave that community. And if that were a national policy, I would probably leave the nation. To live in a world where you're constantly monitored, even if you're doing nothing wrong, that's always the argument that people use to say, well, listen, if you're doing nothing wrong, there's nothing to worry about. I think that's totally invalid. I mean, it changes your psychology completely to know that everything you're doing is being monitored. Recently, I heard in the UK that there's lots of cameras in the UK, and they've also started to install speakers so that people watching the cameras can then now instruct the person who they've just seen litter to pick up their piece of trash. And, you know, this is a bizarre world. It also, like I said at the end of the Fred Friendly, I believe it's very much contrary.
Okay, well, hang on a second. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't your research enabling people who want to do this kind of thing to be able to do it? I mean, your research is in developing advanced sensors and is in some sense leading us down this path. How do you resolve this?
Well, yeah, it's a good point. My sense is that the technology is nearly irrelevant. If we decide as a society that we want to watch everybody, we can degenerate into the situation that existed in East Germany, and we don't need nanotechnology to do that. We can have everybody employed to watch everyone else. We can install microphones everywhere. We can do that if we want, and we don't need nanotechnology to do it. Technology comes with no judgment. It can be used for good things and bad things, and it's totally up to us. The technology of this quantum computer, for instance, is it's funded by the government because everyone is worried about whether or not it can crack code. And that's based on fear that our adversaries will build this computer and be able to break our codes when we can't break theirs. But the reality is that the most positive aspects of this computer will be using it to simulate quantum mechanics, which will be useful for, let's say, engineering novel materials, which will certainly be amazingly economically beneficial and help a lot of people. Most of us in the field, I believe that the positive benefits of the quantum computer are going to just be outrageously huge. They're going to be economically really important. And, you know, there always is a potential you could use such a computer to violate privacy. That's a decision we could make as a society. Nuclear energy is another good example. You can use it to make electricity or use it it for making nuclear medicine.
And the discussions got a bit heated during the televised Fred Finley seminars on nanotechnology. And I think that a lot of people just didn't get a chance to say everything on their mind. And what is something that's been on your mind that you just didn't get a chance to say in front of the cameras?
One thing that I felt was that the whole discussion was in light of 9/11. So now there was a serious attack in America. Now we want to do things to protect us. What are we going to change about our society to provide this extra security? Are we going to produce a lockdown kind of state to live in where we have cameras everywhere, RFID on everybody, we know where everyone is at all times? Are we going to produce that kind of state as a result of 9/11, which is really tragic? But you know what? We've had events in the last 100 years that are far more dramatic, and we didn't go completely nuts. For instance, my sense is that we're missing the bigger threats out there. The bigger threats are the kinds of events that would happen and completely change our society overnight. For instance, if a nuclear weapon is brought to the United States and detonated, that would change our society immediately. If there was a release of smallpox in the United States or in the Western world, that would change our society absolutely overnight. So those are the big ones. The small stuff, which is terrible, is for the people who get hurt by it, but we should never allow our society to become paralyzed by it. That's what I wanted to say. That's from a bigger picture. As far as the nuclear stuff, what I really worry about is the people who study this for a living, for instance, like Graham Allison at Harvard or Richard Garwin at IBM, they put the probability of a nuclear weapon coming to the United States and detonating at 50-50 every 5 years. And I've talked to Richard Garwin about this in the recent past, and he still believes that that's an accurate assessment of the probability. Now, if that were to happen, just put your mind around what would happen the day after that. How would we change our society? It would be the end of our liberal democracy. So my sense is we should focus our efforts on trying to fight that scenario or scenarios like that with a huge amount of enthusiasm.
That was physicist Keith Schwab of Cornell University. This special Clear Voices for Science podcast was produced in cooperation with ICANN Productions and the Fred Friendly Seminars, with funding from the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation. Go to powerofsmall.org to find out more. Thanks for listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast.
We're at earthsky.org.